My name is Portia. I'm from DocumentWrite. We write technical documentation, and today's presentation is called Automate the Pain Away, CI/CD Workflows for Documentation. Let's automate that pain away. So once again, it's me. Run a technical documentation agency. Before then, I used to work as a Django developer. I spent years, too much time, tinkering with side projects and working with documentation. And you could find me on DocumentWrite, on Twitter, and YouTube. We'll cover what problem we're trying to solve, the tools that exist, how to automate your docs, and the pros and cons to automation. So I talk to clients, and a common problem they tell me is, sounds like a developer wrote the docs. I'm like, okay. And we dig in into exactly what does that mean. Sounds like a developer wrote the docs. So some of the problems that companies have with their documentation include a wall of text, which means it's really hard to parse through the documentation. It lacks context. This is really common because if you wrote the code, you really don't know what an outsider will be like confused on. It's out of date. It's not updated on a regular basis. The documentation is incomplete. There are some features that lack documentation. And finally, it's incohesive. It's very obvious that your Go developer, your React developer, and your marketing person all worked on the documentation, and you could tell which section they worked on. So, quick tour of voice and tone. If you want your documentation to sound cohesive and not like four different departments touched it, or sound like developers wrote it, it's really important to know these concepts. So this is a voice chart. And the purpose of a voice chart is to make sure that your documentation, like I said before, sounds cohesive. And this is based on different principles. So you get together with your team and you figure out, what do we stand for? And based on what you stand for, that actually informs the concepts, vocabulary, and grammar that you will use in your documentation. I can talk about this, but it's easier to actually give you some real examples. So this is Google's voice. This examples I'm using comes directly from Google's documentation. I promise this is not my opinion. This is just Google. So if you're looking at Google's documentation, they tell you that some of their principles include timeless documentation, catering to a global audience, and accessibility. That's all nice and good. But what does that mean? For concepts for timeless documentation, it means it's avoiding words and phrases that anchor documentation in a point in time, like 2015. Vocabulary, it avoids avoids words like now, new, and currently. That's in their style guide. And grammar, it uses the present tense. So you take your principles, and from there, you actually figure out, well, what concept are you going to use? Which vocabulary are you going to use and not use? And what is your grammar going to be like? Second example, Microsoft. This comes from Microsoft's style guide and documentation. Once again, I've not made this up. These are not my principles. warm and relax, crisp and clear, bias-free communication. So if we look at crisp and clear, it means that we're to the point. We write for scanning first, reading second. We make it simple above all. Vocabulary, whenever possible, choose words that have one meaning as opposed to words with multiple meanings. And grammar, make every word sentence count. Concise, clear sentences. So once again, it's easier for you to get to concise, clear sentences. It's easier for you to get to, whenever possible, use words that have one clear meaning when you know what your principle is. So that's something that should not be avoided. We talked about voice. There's also tone. So you can have a voice, but you can have different types of tone for a voice. So if you have a warning label, you'll have like, it'll be urgent. You have an urgent tone, but the voice is the same. If it's empathy, like a getting started guide, you want that person to feel like, yes, they're welcome. Yes, they should spend their whole weekend with your documentation. Whole weekend. And inclusiveness. The introduction is also, welcome. This is what we're about. Yes, this documentation is for you and will solve your problem. Those are the different tones. And once again, you have one voice, but several different tones in your documentation. All of this is codified, not in the product manager's head, not in the lead engineer's head, but in a style guide. So the examples that we looked at were from Google and Microsoft style guides. So there's several different style guides that you can use for technical writing. There's a Google, Microsoft, Smashing Magazine has one. And the one that I personally use for my team is DigitalOcean. I love DigitalOcean's technical writing guide because it gets to the point and it gets the information really quickly. If you're using Microsoft style guide, it's literally over 1,000 pages. And I think Google is around over 1,000 pages as well. So even with the best intentions, one just doesn't have time for that. Here is a list of common documentation pitfalls. This data comes from the Google Season of Docs 2021. And some of the pitfalls that you have with documentation include the documentation is lacking specific use cases, the documentation is disorganized, it's outdated, not consistent. You don't know of these problems, right? Your documentation's perfect. And the documentation needs to be converted into a different tool, platform, or format. Oh no, so many moving parts. No wonder why no one keeps up with their documentation. You have voice, you have tone, you have the fact that it's out to date, you have the fact that people are using different tools. How do you keep it together? Automation to the rescue. So this is where we're going to use CI/CD tooling and automation to make sure that we take our principles and best practices and actually implement them. So we're going to take a step back. Using a CI/CD workflow is part of a docs as code workflow. And with a docs as code workflow, it has several parts. One, you're using version control like Git. Second, you're building documentation with an open source platform like Sphinx, Gatsby, Next.js, Docusaurus. The documentation is written in MDX or Markdown. I know there's some ASCII people out there, but in this presentation, we're going to talk about Markdown. And you make use of CI/CD tools. If you want to learn more about Docs as Code, you can read Anne Gentle's book, Docs Like Code. Her first edition was 2016, and she just updated it actually last month. She's amazing. I love that book. You should just give it to everyone. All right, automating your team style guide starter pack. So in this situation case, we're going to use GitHub Actions, Markdown, and Veil. And I'll talk about what those tools are. So GitHub Actions, the basics, it's a CI/CD solution provided by GitHub. It's made up of workflow and events. It contains a marketplace of third-party actions. So you can write your own actions, but you can also use actions that are already pre-written in the marketplace. And it's great for running linters and tests. Many of you probably already use it for JavaScript and Python and other programming languages. Markdown, it's platform agnostic. You use it with platforms such as Gatsby, Hugo, or Docusaurus. Not as complex as code. I put this down because many people who are touching your documentation, they're not always engineers. And in our team, we have a project manager. And she did not know anything about Git. She knew nothing about code, but she actually updates the documentation using Markdown. Another thing I like about Markdown is you can use MDX, and MDX is where you can import and use React components. So if you want something that is interactive, MDX really gives you some more flexibility in MD. Veil is a linter for pros. There are extensions for Visual Studio Code, JetBrain, and Vim and Emacs fans out there. It's not the only linter out there. You can check out Woke and Rightgood. The one thing I will say is with Vail, you can use many linters within Vail, and Woke is what it sounds like. I'll let you check that out on your own time. The code. So I'm going to, let's see. If we have time, I would love to run a demo, but we'll see what happens. And I would have to use a second screen, so let's just stay with this for now. This is the Vail config file, and in the Vail config file, what you're looking at is a style path, the alert level. I believe there's three different alert levels, what kind of format you're using, which is Markdown, and style guides. In this case, you're not writing your own style guide, but you're using style guides created by Rightgood and Google. And this is what a typical workflow looks like. This is the Vail one, and you have on, which triggers the workflow. So the trigger is, in this case, a push. And this code will run on a main branch. You're not stuck on one branch. Like, if you want to run this on multiple branches, you can. But in this situation, we're just using one branch. And if you go to 25 to 27, those are the style guides that we're using in this situation. And we're using Google, and we're also using Rightgood. I just added this today, because I don't want this to seem like magic. When you're using Google's Vail YAML file, this is what it looks like. It's basically a regular expression checking to, this is the first person one, and it's checking to see if like you're using I. What you could do is, if you want to make your own Vail linter, you can go to Google, you can go to Microsoft, and you can use their examples to help you get started. Finally, takeaways. The benefits of automating your documentation. It greatly speeds up the publishing process, which is a plus. The Git increases workflow transparency, Git blame. It encourages developers to take a more active role in maintaining documentation because it's using the similar tools that developers are using to develop code, which is like Git, Vim, MDX. And it upskills technical writers. There are many technical writers out there that are not software developers. And they ask a developer, well, what do I need to know? What kind of coding skills do I need? And they're like, C++, which is fine. It's fine. But we're not giving them the kind of advice they need to use this data on a day-to-day basis. So if you go to Twitter, if you go to LinkedIn, if you go to Write the Docs Slack channel, there are technical writers who want to know how to upskill, and knowing Git, knowing how to use Markdown, knowing a sprinkling of HTML, CSS, JavaScript can really give them the skills where they can actually use this on the job, which is really important. So you have these coding skills that they can actually implement, and it's one of the reasons why I like the Docs' code. Caveats. These are the cons. When I work with a team, I would want them to already use a style guide without the automation. This is important because you can figure out what you want in your style guide, what should be taken out, and you can actually build a process. Once you're confident with that process, then it's time to automate. Second, you figure out how to deal with false positives. Vail is going to be wrong. You're going to have to talk to your team and figure out what's going to happen when a tool gives you the wrong answer. I've had teams where they've gotten a false positive, and it really destabilized them. And so having that plan is important. And finally, this is the most important part, automation will not solve for poor team communication, pettiness, and office bullies. Surprising, I know. You can't use CI/CD to deal with bullies. you actually need to talk to them and you actually need a conversation. Thank you very much. You can find me at Document Rights on Twitter and YouTube. Wait. Yes. Okay. Yes. We're gonna run this.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Sorry. Wait. We only have like 2 or 3 minutes, so let's not do too much clapping. This is what the repo looks like. This is a bare bone. What I have is a getting started guide. I've used Obama Ipsum. You don't need to use Obama. There's actually a Trump one too. So we have this and get status, get add, get commit, Obama example. I know this is not great. And then let's push this. So I am now pushing this to GitHub, which is here. So this is my GitHub repo. And here you see the workflows, the config file, the getting started guide. And this is where your actions are located. And this to the left are your actions. In this example, I'm only using one action, but you can use many actions. And here I'm actually running the code. So it's still building. And how much time do I have? Do I have 1 minute?
1 minute, yes.
I have, oh, someone said two. So build, yay, this built, which is always a plus during a live demo. And if we scroll down, here are all the issues. So there are different levels. One level is an error, the next error is a warning. So error is spell out all ordinal numbers. And what I like about this is, let's see if this is gonna work for us. This shows you exactly what your error is, and you don't need a person to comb through the documentation and tell you this. Like, this is a linter telling you exactly what you should change, and your higher level problems, you can have a product manager or a technical writer deal with. And do we have time for questions? No? All right. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm.